Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Hello and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Big goings on in the NFL. We got Jay Glazer coming your way in about 20 minutes. All the latest on David Culley, NFL coaching moves, and more. But today was another day. And another day of quarterback drama, Mike Harmon. It feels like every day since the regular season ended, we've had days with quarterback drama where teams have said we're happy, we're not happy with our quarterback, we have thrown ourselves behind our quarterback for next year, or we're not throwing ourselves behind our quarterback for next year. It's like that's been every day this week since the regular season ended.
Well, that's good because now we're doing the assessing of blame. And while kind of taking ownership of it, in the case of, you know, we talked a bunch about Indianapolis, you know, and Carson Wentz as part of all of this, you know, there's also the, hey, you know, he didn't hold up his end of the bargain either. Like, we bet on this guy and we gave him everything we possibly could. I mean, that's what they're saying without saying it when they get in front of the podium or in front of the dictaphone.
And, you know, you mentioned Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is a big jumping off point for the conversation right now because GM Chris Ballard was asked today about Carson Wentz coming back to quarterback for the Colts next season. And Ballard gave you the old, you know, who can make any kind of projections at this point in the offseason? Take a listen.
At the time of the decision, we felt good about it, and I still don't regret the decision at the time. I won't make a comment on.
hold on. Stop it right there, AT. I don't regret it at the time.
Yeah. How bad do they want away from Carson Wentz when they're saying, listen, I didn't regret it then. You don't go back there.
It was really what we had.
It's turned out to stink, but at the time, what do you want, man? I mean, at the time, I liked the decision. Okay.
Sorry,
that's like
AT,
me saying, at the time, I liked eating that fourth slice of pizza, but as time has gone on, I shouldn't have had that fourth slice of pizza.
No.
I don't regret it back then. We had to do it. We had to do something. We didn't have a quarterback. Our quarterback couldn't throw the ball more than 8 yards. He's going to coach high school football. We had to go get somebody else. All right, so let's hear more from Chris Ballard.
I won't make a comment on who's going to be here next year. That's not fair to any player.
How is it not fair to any player? Is Carson going to be there? It's not fair if I say he's going to be here. Wait. How is that not fair? You can say, I mean, look.
Well, if I say it today, I might not have better options one way or the other. I might have to cut him or trade him later, and I'd feel bad because I would have said he was going to stay. But if he stays, and I said, yeah, we're evaluating all options. Does he feel loved? Does he feel the support that he needs, right? Going back to the time in Philadelphia, as soon as he didn't think they had his back, what happened? It all kind of went to hell. So I'm trying to avoid that happening again.
Yeah, and, just the more that goes on, the more I think Ballard realized, okay, there's microphones on, and if I go back on my word, they're going to play this back forever. So I want to make sure I don't say anything that could come back to haunt me. In other words, you know we want out from under Carson Wentz. I don't know that we're going to do it because we traded a first and a third round pick for him, and we got to pay him again next year. And they want out. And, you know, this goes back to what we talked about last night. Yeah, it's great to say, hey, I'm signaling to the fans we're open to making a move, right? For any team, any fan base, it's great to signal that what went on with us at quarterback this year was not good enough and we need to make a move, right? There's 9 or 10 teams that can say that and have done that. But, again, the other part of it is who are you going to go get? Right, because we told you, unless you're going to make a trade for Wilson or Rodgers, or if Deshaun Watson's situation gets cleared up and he can play in the NFL again, who are you going to bring in that you can say, oh, I feel so much better than Carson Wentz with this guy? I mean, look, Wentz was bad, right? Wentz was good in the beginning of the season, and then he was terrible down the stretch at the end. He was awful in the last two games when they needed to win to make the playoffs, and they couldn't do it, right? So I get it. I understand. But at the same time, where's that guy? Where's that guy that you're going to say, okay, yeah, we're moving on from Carson Wentz, and we're going – who is it? Who is it? The only player, the only quarterback that gives, and this shows you that they actually wound up lucking out in the end, is that after this year, you know the 49ers have to go to Trey Lance, right? It was great to do this year with Jimmy Garoppolo, but now suddenly if Trey Lance is not ready, then whoa, what a horrible – they you picked that guy third in the draft and all these different things, right? So this year the Niners wanted a lot for him. They weren't going to give him – oh, we love Jimmy. We're not going to give him away. He, you know, we look at him as a big-time asset, all this stuff. Holding on to him now, he's going to be the guy available that you can say – all right, maybe this guy's a bit of an upgrade over Carson Wentz, but he's really the only one, right? And is he that big of an upgrade, or is he just better than anybody else that's out there? It's okay, you know, he's better than anybody else you can go get because all the other guys are not people that are going to blow you away or people that you can say, hey, this is our franchise quarterback. I'll tell you who it's going to be big for in the offseason. It's going to be big for the backups with upside. Because that's what teams are going to do. Teams are going to follow more like what Washington did last year, saying, okay, we like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke. Heinicke maybe has a little bit of something to him, but if it doesn't work, we got Ryan Fitzpatrick who has done it. So I feel pretty good overall about our quarterback room because we have two guys we can maybe go to and use if we need to. That's how teams are going to have to approach the offseason. This is where backups with upside suddenly become hot commodities. Right?
You mean like Mike White?
I could say, oh,
Trubisky.
Dude, the Jets could get like three first-round picks from Mike White. Oh, my God, are you kidding? No, we got to hold on to Mike White. No, but guys like Marcus
Mariota.
You got
drunk with power, right? just then. Yeah, what's he going to do, run the ball?
But like a guy like Marcus Mariota, who in spurts the last couple of years with the Raiders, has played pretty well. Is he someone that you can bring in to say, listen, this guy's our starter, but we want you to fight for it, and we're going to open the job in training camp. And if you win, you'll play. And if he falters, you'll play. And Marcus Mariota is going to say, all right, well, I'm not taking over for Derek Carr, obviously, so I have to go here. And look, everybody's contract situation is different. Some guys are going to be free agents. Some guys you're going to wind up making trades for. But you're going to see teams with quarterback issues say, we got to go get a backup with upside. And those are the guys that are going to wind up having big years next year or big opportunities in the offseason because there's nobody else out there, right? It's a bad year in free agency. It's a bad year in the draft for quarterbacks. You can't just say there's no guys like Sam Darnold. You're going to go get and say, oh, maybe he turns into our franchise guy. No, unless you are ponying up for one of the top two guys and you call the Packers and you call the Seahawks and you call the Texans and this is how it works, this is where you're going. So this is who it's going to be big for. Jimmy Garoppolo will be the Jimmy Garoppolo feeding frenzy this offseason is going to be insane. It's going to be, oh, we got to get Jimmy, got to get Jimmy. The Steelers are going to go crazy for Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, we got to get Jimmy, got to get Jimmy. So many people, oh, you got to have Jimmy. And it's like, dude, it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, but he's better than anything else that's out there. And then it's going to be about the backups with upside. So it's crazy, but Garoppolo is going to be the king of the offseason barring a trade of one of the top those three quarterbacks that I mentioned.
Why do you say that like it's wrong? He's a playoff quarterback.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
And when he wins
okay.
This weekend, it's an even bigger deal.
Jimmy Garoppolo is okay.
He's, 75% he's okay. Winner.
He's okay. He's okay.
How dare
he's
you.
He's been
Sox
okay.
Fan, you know.
He's see, that's why if he was a Cubs fan, you wouldn't say a word about it. You would say, yeah, Jimmy stinks. I don't know why people.
No, no, no.
Don't
you know what I would say then?
Garoppolo. You would say 100%.
He's a larger Chicago area kid, is what I would say then.
He's a larger Chicago area. Look, he threw 20 touchdowns this year. Okay, he threw 20 touchdowns, right? Didn't throw for 4,000 yards. His quarterback rating is absolutely smack dab in the middle of the pack. He's been a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. That's kind of who he is, right? It's not like you say, well, he's – no, the guy's 30 now. Okay, we've seen him. We've seen enough of Jimmy Garoppolo over the past couple of years to know that, okay, this is the quarterback that he is. In this year, coming in with a guy looking over his shoulder, knowing I need to be at my best the entire year, he just had an okay season. Never threw more than two touchdowns in a game. He's just all right. He's just okay. But
he doesn't.
Season,
but it's like your Mac Jones argument.
There, okay.
He doesn't have to throw for 350.
Well, teams that need quarterbacks, you need guys to throw for three. A lot of these teams need guys to throw for three.
I don't know. Some of these teams, I mean, because look, if Cleveland can get rid of Baker Mayfield, would they trade him out for Jimmy G? You're damn right they would.
They can't. No one's going to say, I'll take that Baker Mayfield $18 million and pay him.
No,
you can't Darnold him.
I'm just saying, if you can Darnold him somewhere else.
You can't, because everybody knows it's unlike a year ago.
Speaking Darnold into existence.
I made it a verb. I've turned Darnold into a verb. Like a year ago where it was, well, we can blame Adam Gase for a lot of the problems at Sam Darnold. Get him away from Adam Gase, he'll be great. Oh, wait, that didn't work. So you had that.
Yeah, but now he's with Matt Rhule, and do we trust Matt Rhule's evaluation?
No, come on, seriously?
You saw the nonsense line he had about Rashawn Slater. He should be fired just in that moment.
Hey,
I'm sorry, weren't you a line guy? Wasn't that your deal?
How many guys is Sam Darnold going to play for? They're going to wind up getting fired. We talk about coach killers. Oh my goodness, Sam's got, already two guys got fired. Now Matt Rhule, you know he's got 1 foot dipped over into the ocean of your firedness. So this is not going to be a great offseason to try to go get those guys. Look at Baker Mayfield, if the rest of the NFL didn't see him and they didn't like Kevin Stefanski, they could say, all right, let's get Baker Mayfield out of Cleveland. It might work. But they've seen him play. They know he's not very good, and they know it's not Kevin Stefanski's fault. So, yeah, you can't Darnold Baker Mayfield this year.
Yeah, as I said with Rhule, as a line coach, he was a defensive line coach, which means he should know what kind of guys can destroy your D-line. Evaluation. You just showed yourself, man. Come on now.
But outside of that, that's what it's going to be. That's how the offseason is going to go at quarterback, and it's going to be, we're not going to commit to Carson Wentz because we're going to make it to, we're going to bring in Mike White. If I could be Mike White, want to be, and we'll throw that job open for Carson Wentz. And Mike, that's going to be what it is, because it's great for teams to sit here in a vacuum and say, now, yeah, we're scouring the landscape. We're not going in with Carson Wentz next year. Well, then when you scour that landscape, you go, yeah, looks like we got to come back with Carson Wentz.
Why everybody was like, on Monday night, right? Andrew Luck's back in the building, and we talked about it. It looked like Captain Andrew Luck with the cheesy mustache. But that guy looked like he ain't seen the inside of a weight room or a workout facility in a while,
which
is fine for him. Good for him. But, you know, anybody saying, oh, there he was, he's back around football, it's like, are you kidding? Come on, man. You can't just try to speak that into existence. You got a better shot at Troy Aikman, who's all yoked and launching beer and hanging out in the Fox booth deciding, hey, I want one more run on a team that'll let me throw the ball more.
Yeah,
so, it ain't happening.
They'll be fighting over Jacoby Brissett and Tyler Huntley. Hey, let's call the Ravens, see if they'll trade Tyler Huntley.
That's the other thing. Tyler Huntley was intriguing, but you know what? They still lost every one of those games.
Yeah, they did. Hey, you think the Texans will trade Davis Mills? No way, man. He's their starter now. Oh, boy. He was good the last 6 weeks. All right. That's going to be the offseason of quarterbacks. And I'm hopeful that we have one of the big guys getting dealt. Whether Aaron Rodgers decides right after the season's over, blank you, I'm out. Russell Wilson, who knows how things will go with Watson, but that's going to wind up being the overwhelming storyline, what happens with these guys. But in reality, for the 9 or 10 teams that need quarterbacks, we'll just bring some other guys in and
up and deal, baby.
Can some other headline happen when no one's asking me about my quarterback job? Can we do it for?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. We got Jay Glazer coming your way in about 5 minutes, but before we get to that, I just want to throw this out there, Mike Harmon, because this is what I've been thinking about today, right? Yesterday, we had the story Eric Weddle coming out of retirement, and he's going to play for the Rams this week. He's 37, and the Rams are having difficulty. It's a big deal. At this point, how has Larry Fitzgerald not come back?
decided he had enough money. I mean, the guy's made like $250,000 on the field, hadn't he?
Yeah, I know. But you could get this your one last chance at a Super Bowl ring. And I know he's done interviews and talked about how he's done. And he, you know, doesn't really have the desire to play. He hasn't officially retired yet. But, and he's happy. But here they are. I mean, this is it, right? Like, this would be it. No DeAndre Hopkins. You know, you come back, it would be such an incredible story. And you would get one last chance because this is it. Like, you know, if you're sitting out another year, they're not going to call you back. This would be it to get one last game. You didn't have to play all season. You didn't have to go through any practices, anything else. You'll get out there and be for 15 or 20 plays, and you clearly could probably still have it because he's still young enough to be able to be that kind of difference maker for a few plays. Maybe he could do it. I don't know how he doesn't. I don't know how he doesn't do that.
I tell you, there were a few guys I was kind of waiting for the call to come. Right, I mean, because we saw Danny Amendola for the Texans making plays. You saw, you know, some reports, you know, a lot of quotes out of Julian Edelman. I was like, sure, then nobody called him at some point. It's like, can you run over the middle for me a few more times? Scrape across the middle for me. But certainly for Larry Fitzgerald, I kept wondering if it would happen, you know, have one more wave, especially if you didn't have to go through training camp and, you know, three quarters of the regular season by time Hopkins was out and you knew he was not going to be coming back barring some sort of medical miracle, that you'd have him come back for the organization to take this shot. But evidently he's found his peace away doing a podcast and golfing a lot. I don't know what else he's doing beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, look.
We've seen some reports of his nocturnal activities. But
yes, yeah.
That.
Well, yeah. There's that. Yeah,
that's a whole other thing. We're not talking about that here.
But the whole thing we went to with the NBA when we saw the NBA bring in some guys back on 10-day contracts that
sure.
were former stars. The NFL should do that. Have one, you know, because of COVID, whatever reason, have one roster spot where you can bring somebody back on a 10-day contract, whatever it is, or a week to week. I don't have to worry about. We'll add you the spot for the active roster, and it gets to be a former team legend. And hey, you get a free spot. We're going to bring back the Larry Fitzgerald. Oh man, that'd be great. And we get to see him potentially play this week.
Is there a committee that has to decide what team the guy's most identifiable with?
Well, Fitzgerald's a Cardinal, so he's a Cardinal.
Well, but like he's the rarity, right? Because he didn't go anywhere else. I'm talking about guys that went to two or three other teams. Do we have to do the, you know, like a Hall of Fame ball cap for the plaque? Who he's most identified with?
Like for the Bengals, who they wanted to bring back. Oh, sorry, you know, T.O.'s been in a bunch of different places. I know he wants to play, and you had, but you can bring back Darnay Scott. Oh, great! We'll bring back Darnay Scott. He was good for us. All right, great. You got to bring back somebody who can be identified as a team legend.
I kind of like that idea. I think there's certainly something to that effect. And it's funny because I actually just found my old ticket stub, right? Bears, when they were in, went to San Francisco, and Cade McNown couldn't get them past the 50. That was a game that was Jerry Rice's final home game as a Niner.
Uh-huh.
And it was the game that T.O. caught 20 balls.
Yeah, it was Owens. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, in his final year in 2010, 72 catches, 983 yards, 9 touchdowns, and then he was out of the league.
Mm. Man, I'd let the Niners bring Jerry Rice back for a 1 week contract. You know he'd love to do it.
Did you see that dope that wrote about him being the 141st best receiver?
I know. I saw that story.
You want to talk about a guy trying to get himself some love? They'll all know my name now.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Joe Cribbs could play for the Bills this weekend. I mean,
Josh Cribbs?
Great names. Yeah. Yeah, we could do that. No. Joe Cribbs. Josh Cribbs was the kick returner. Joe Cribbs. I'm going back to like the 70s, early 80s for Joe Cribbs.
Oh, wow. Now you're really. Yeah. I figured you wanted the recency.
No. I lit you up with Joe Cribbs. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, on the hotline with us right now, NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. And today is a big day for Jay. Actually, yesterday a big day as he opened up a big package in his house. And there was free food in it. And his book arrived. The Unbreakable book is there. Jay, welcome. I know you had a rough day earlier this week. You talked about waking up for no reason. You were in the gray on Tuesday. Wednesday, a better day for you with the book arrival. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm good now because, as you saw, like, you know, look, when I have those days and I never know when they're coming, like, I don't make the rules here. You know, I reached out to my teammates. You know, and that's what you got to do. You got to reach out to your – and I think I told you guys last week on the show, when you actually – like, a lot of dudes just feel shame by telling somebody. They look at it like it's weakness. But I think it's stronger. Like, our vulnerability is true strength. And I reached out to one of my teammates, Mark Kerr, who is the – if you don't know him, he had a documentary on HBO that was made of him called The Smashing Machine long time ago. And Mark was one of the – he was the first ever UFC heavyweight champ of the world. I said, Mark, man, I'm really struggling today. I need you to come over and basically I need you to punch me in the face. Like, we got to spar. So I was like, hey, I need you to come over and give me more CTE so I can feel better about myself. And you want to talk about being messed up. That's messed up. But I'm good with my messed up this. And but it's that teammate, man. Like, again, I think too many dudes keep it in. They don't talk about it. And I can tell you this. I told you guys last week on the show, too, like, man, I went down to Tampa just to sit with Rondé Barber and our crew over there to open up and tell them, because I was just, man, I've just been in a bad place for this whole year. And then I realized, too, why the year. I just realized it this week, why the whole year has been rough for me. And when you have the level of depression and anxiety that I have, you don't ever feel like anything's ever worthy of good happening to you. And look, I know people at home are going to go, what? Like, yes, a lot of good has happened to me. Like, my life is great. Like, God has blessed me. My life's incredible, except between my ears. And anytime something good is going to happen, the roommates in my head tell me that I'm so not worthy of it. So the sky's going to fall and come crashing down around me, and it's not going to happen. So when I finished the book in February, I was convinced that from February to, like, here, January 25th, that it just, I was going to mess my life up. The sky was going to fall, come crashing down, and it wasn't going to happen. And and I realized, like, man, when the book came this week, yeah, I was happy, I was excited, but over these next 12 days, like, I'm going to live in hell. Like, I'm going to be convinced that my whole world is going to crash before this thing gets, you know, starts getting sold January 25th. And it's just, that's my mental illness. It's not, you know, but at the same time, and this is like kind of the moral of this whole book, is like my mental struggles and my depression, anxiety, and those roommates in my head that talk so badly to me, it's actually what made me so successful. Like, it forced me to, because I have so little love for myself from the inside out, it forced me to go do such great, ridiculously great things to feel love from the outside in. And without my depression and anxiety, I wouldn't be where I am. So, like, I'm, you know, in MVP, I always talk about being proud of our scars. And this is a way for me to kind of practice what I preach to everybody else. It's hard for me, but it's I got to practice what I preach.
the vlogs you've been doing, and obviously I'm up moving around because, well, I don't sleep. So I saw you on the Dan Patrick Show this morning, part of the network, and, I mean, the outpouring of love and support there. Hopefully you feel it, man, because, I mean, you've been part of our team for going on a long time. And I volunteered to do anything but get hit in the face, buddy. But I got you.
That's about that monster. He's 285 pounds. And how about if you go watch the video, I'm like, that is my friend Mark Hurt. I was feeling bad today, so I asked him to come over and punch me in the face. And Mark goes, so I said yes. I'm crazy. Like, I'm off. Like, there's something wrong with me to get me to be like, oh, that makes me feel good about myself. But it does make me feel special and different. Like, mixed martial arts for me, because I got involved in the early days when it was so ostracized, it made me feel special because 99.999999% of the world were unwilling or unable to do it. Mm-hmm. And even though I only had two pro fights, I've coached, you know, over 1,000 guys, and it, like, just makes me feel special and different to this day. And I think also, like, growing up, because I had such little self-worth, I felt like such a dumb kid. I felt fighting was the only thing that gave me any sort of value. So to this day, I kind of fall back on that as a default. And I'll tell you another funny thing. Like, I said in my little post there when I got it, I'm like, hey, it's pretty amazing for me to write a book for a kid who was in remedial English growing up. And then when I wrote in the caption the title of the book, I misspelt one of the words.
Did you really? Well, it is a long title. I will say that. Unbreakable, how I turned my depression and anxiety into motivation, and you can too. As long as it wasn't two. Okay.
No, the word two, I spelt it with one O instead of two.
Oh, you did?
Did you? I said, I think I spelled all the words right. Well, no, I didn't.
Oh.
Yes, I've since edited it. Somebody, my friend caught it for me, and he's like, hey, moron, you said this, and you actually didn't spell all your words right. So, but I am excited, guys, because, like, for me, like, you know, and I explain it in the book, like, it's a prescriptive book of what gets me through the gray, what gets you through depression, anxiety. And I think nowadays, I would say a huge majority of them have some version of it. And a lot of it is the pressures of social media. Like, we compare ourselves to everybody else's filtered fraction of a second of our lives, and it's not true. Like, nothing's true. But how do you not think your life doesn't suck, or you feel left out when you see what everybody else, how great they look at? Fraction of a second of one day, and you're comparing yourself like, wow, how come I'm not on that boat? How come I'm not looking like that? How come I'm not at this party? I'm right. And then at the same time, Twitter, all you see is hate. And think about this: when you were growing up and you got bullied on a playground, your friend got bullied in the playground, man, that sucked for a few days. But we're not, that's one instance. We're seeing it every second, 1,000 instances per second. Every day. And I don't think the human condition is meant for that.
Have you ever thought, because I know people have done this, and I've did to many different variations. I know Brady Quinn actually did this not too long ago, and he said, boy, my outlook changed a little bit. Did you ever think of taking a social media break and wondering and see if that affects you at all? Just because I know people that have done that.
Yeah, I hired someone to do mine where I don't have to look at comments. But I still do, and I try not to, and it's bad. And I actually hired a guy named Scott Schmertz, so I won't look anymore. He will put, so we'll plan it on. He'll send me, hey, and I'll send him, hey, post this, so I won't look at the comments anymore, because I'm an empath. I can't stand to see hate, whether it's at me or somebody else. And by the way, the crap people send to me, like, yeah, it hurts. Like, people make fun of me for this or that. It could be everything on air about me looking fat or me being short, my goatee or this or that. Like, man, that's not cool. But also, like, if you saw me at a bar and you say that, I'll beat your ass.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah, Twitter muscles, yeah.
Because it hurt me. And man, you get all these people like, dude, here I am this past weekend breaking stories for you, and you're criticizing the way my body looks, man. Like, you know, I've done a lot more with my body than you have. And it's just because you made it to a certain level. A lot of us make it to a certain level because our hearts are really big. And yeah, no, it hurts. It hurts all of us. It definitely hurts. Like, I just, you don't like it. I don't like to be bullied or hear that crap. But for me, when I see it happen to other people, it hurts me. It really hurts me to see other people get such bad things said about them. And it's just, man, like I said, the human condition is not meant for that.
Well, and that's the story of the week with the firings in the National Football League. Yep. You mentioned Brian Flores on Sunday. Beyond that, yep. Any surprises and anything, you know, that you're hearing out of left field in terms of these processes?
Yeah, it'll probably be another one or so. So the Flores one is funny because, you know, again, I was the only one who said that, hey, keep an eye on Brian Flores here. You know, at the end of the week, I'm hearing that there could be movement on him. And I said, if they get rid of him, they got a lot more problems there than just that, right? So I was the only one to check. But I put him in the category, in the graphic of safe. Because my guy, because I need three sources for everything. And this one source, he's like, I'm telling you, go strong with it. He's out. And I'm like, dude, what if they beat Patriots? And he's like, well, maybe that'll help shift something. So that's why I put him in safe. But he was so positive, and I was like, man. And so at least I talked about it. I did know, but I was always almost like, man, cooler heads have got to prevail here. Like, it's got to. And it was bad, really bad friction between him and Chris Greer for that last month. Really bad. But, you know, they said, well, they're trying to say now, well, Brian was tough to work with. So was every – you think Bill Belichick's a walk in the park? Sean Payton's a fun dude to work with? Are you kidding me? Like, Sean Payton fires his coaches like 9 times per game. Ask Dennis Allen how many times Sean Payton has fired him during a game over the course of his career. It's probably 114.
I love it.
He's brutal. He is brutal. Right? So you got a good coach over there, man. Really good coach. And I'll say this, too. Yeah, the NFL has a problem. There's one black head coach.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That's a huge problem. And, you know, I was part of helping Mike Tomlin get his head coaching start. And it's just what people would say about him. Oh, man, he's going to be a star, but, you know, he's greener. He's not ready. Well, listen, if you think he's going to be a star, go get him. Like, if you think this dude that I had one team said, that's the best interview we ever had in our lives. And I said, really, Jay? Most impressive interview we ever had. I said, so might you hire him? No, we're hiring an offensive coach. So you just told me that's the most impressive interview you ever had in your life, but you're not going to hire him because you're going to hire an offensive coach? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But right now, yeah, the league needs to kind of – they got an issue. They got one black head coach, and 70% of the league is black. That is a problem.
He's on Twitter, at Jay Glazer. That is at Jay Glazer. And the book is here, Unbreakable, How I Turned My Depression and Anxiety into Motivation, and You Can Too. Jay is on Twitter. For more information on the book, you can see it. Check it out. Again, Unbreakable, How I Turned
online,
My Depression.
Go to HarperCollins or Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you want to buy it. Please take it and be of service to other people, man. I'm trying to form a big team of us crazies together. We walk this walk together because when you got a team, it's a lot easier.
And just to confirm, Howie Long is still your Uber driver, right?
He still is, very much so.
All right, good. Very good. I want to make sure. I want to make sure he keeps that job.
Oh, and Howie is in the book the book has a lot of laughter in it.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole practical joke chapter in there because I use laughter to get through the gray. And I played a lot of jokes on Howie. And they're in there. And he's going to kill me when he sees it. Well, he lived through it already. He already lived through it. So.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Best. I can't wait to read it, Jay.
He's Howie's my muse. He's my muse.
Jay, thanks a bunch, man. Keep fighting the good fight. We will talk to you soon. Have a great rest of the week, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Oh, my God, that was outstanding stuff from Jay. How he's had to live it, now he's going to kill me. We got more NFL on the way. Great stuff with Jay Glazer again, fighting the gray. If you're fighting, Jay is there to help on Twitter, at Jay Glazer. More NFL next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
Thanks to Jay Glazer for stopping by with us. Just fantastic stuff with Jay a few minutes ago. His new book, Sean Payton Fires His Coach Like 9 Times a Game.
How about that?
That was amazing.
You know what? That play only got us 3 yards. It was designed to pick up that 3rd and 9.
You're fired. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match limitations. They do apply. Well, we make our official picks for the weekend tomorrow, but boy, there's a couple of upset special picks I really like, and I am feeling even better about one of my big ones if this happens. Juju Smith-Schuster back at practice for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have 21 days to activate him, but Mike Tomlin said he looks ready. So I would not be surprised to see suddenly Juju Smith-Schuster playing in this game on Sunday against Kansas City. This wasn't, hey, we got some time. This wasn't the Titans with Derrick Henry where, you know, we got a little bit. We got to see how he does it. It looked good. To me, it looked like he was ready. And this is what's coming out of Pittsburgh. He's ready. He's ready. He comes out. Oh, boy. Suddenly, I'm feeling even better about my Steelers upset special pick. I can't let it out of the bag yet, though. That's tomorrow. But I'm feeling even better about it if Juju Smith-Schuster's back.
Well, players all in the locker room. Deontay Johnson, quote, had no clue about it. Surprised to see him. I was like, yo, you getting ready or something? He's putting on these cleats. And then afterwards said, yeah, he looked like he's ready. So, like we talked about with Ben Roethlisberger's quotes, you know, let's see if he actually does what Matt Nagy spoke of doing last week, which is to go out and have some fun. You've got a good defense that should keep you in the game. Creativity on offense to try to find some of those seams and gadgetry maybe opens things up, and all of a sudden we got a fight on our hands. I'm excited for that game.
Oh, that's going to be a big one. I'm telling you, 13-point spread, Mike. 12
Buddy,
and a half, 13
I bet
points.
All the dogs, $5 to win $6,000.
Our dog show's coming up soon. Telling you, all 5. We talked about it last night.
20. All 6.
Yeah. All 6 upset specials coming true. I could see all 6.
Think about that. When are we doing the dog segment tomorrow?
If you missed the show last night, oh boy. We came with the idea of doing an underdog betting show where we're just betting the dogs in NFL games, and that's the whole theme to the show. There's all kinds of dogs, and we're barking, and we're making it. This is 3 dogs on the rating of 3 stars to 5. It was just crazy. But there we go. There's a bit of a sneak peek inside our upset special picks. One NFL quarterback says, I'm ready for this weekend.